Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. There are no end of challenges we're facing at the moment in that war, but perhaps none more fraught at the moment than the unfolding drama in the Middle East. It is particularly circulating around the nation of Iran and the threat that it poses to many of our interests and allies and forces, for that matter, in the Middle East, but increasingly beyond as well. To talk about that challenge and more generally what's developing in the Middle East and what the stakes are, not just for our friends and interests there, but for us here in the United States as well, I'm very pleased to welcome back for a full hour of conversation, analysis, and insight one of the men that I consider to be best equipped to do that in the entire planet, and that is Ambassador Yoram Ettinger. He previously served in the Foreign Service of his country, Israel, including a number of posts here in the United States. Notably, an extended tour representing the Israeli embassy on Capitol Hill. He has been very active in the years since he left the Foreign Service in Israel, commenting, analyzing, and making appearances, among other places, here. You can find out more about Yoram's thoughts and his collected works at theettingerreport.com. Yoram Ettinger, welcome back. It is so good to have you, sir.
Thank you. It's my pleasure and honor to be hosted by you.
I'm very interested and, frankly, very anxious about what is happening at the moment with respect to Iran. And I'd like to start at a place where it seems we're increasingly seeing red lines drawn and perhaps at risk of being breached, namely Syria. What are your thoughts, Mr. Ambassador, about the Islamic Republic of Iran, what it's up to there, and the threat that it represents to your own country as well as our interests?
Well, to the credit of the Ayatollahs of Iran, they are consistent. They have been consistent and systematic since toppling the very pro-U.S. regime of the Shah back in 1979, and they have a strategic vision which they follow, and that strategic vision means domination of the Persian Gulf, of the Middle East at large, which includes also Syria as well as Lebanon, and in order to advance that strategic goal, they have semi-goal or a hurdle which they have to overcome, and that is U.S. military presence in the Persian Gulf, in the Indian Ocean, and the Middle East at large. And so far, I have to compliment the Ayatollahs for sticking to their goal and leveraging every single critical error committed by the United States administrations, both the previous ones as well as the current one.
Well, I know when you're complimenting them, it is not that you endorse what they're doing, needless to say, but that they are notable for and perhaps even admirable from an adversarial point of view for being so determined, so consistent, and so transparent, really, about what their ambitions are. One of which, of course, is the destruction of the Jewish state. And I wonder if you might just amplify on the point about what's going on in Syria and, yes, adjacent areas, notably Lebanon, that is intensifying the threat posed to Israel by the Iranian regime and its proxies?
First of all, obviously, Iran is perceived by any open-minded person, by any person from the world democracies, as a clear and present lethal danger. However, as far as they are concerned, the number one and by far the most prominent target for them is not Israel, which they define as the little Satan. It has been the United States. And then it's Saudi Arabia and every single pro-American Arab regime in the Middle East. In Syria, they are involved in an attempt to expand their domination, which today extends from Iran through Iraq. They are making attempts to expand it in Yemen, south of Saudi Arabia, and likewise they do in Syria in collaboration with Bashar Assad, in a certain collaboration, not complete one, with Russia. And sadly, they are currently benefiting from the very, very successful United States military campaign against ISIS, which has ended short of attaining the real goal, because the real goal, in my mind, should have been clipping the wings of the Ayatollahs. But instead, the U.S., and I qualify everything I say by so far, the U.S. has handed the Ayatollahs with a very unexpected bonanza, because the demolition of ISIS in Syria is paving the road for much more entrenched Iranian control of Syria, and through Syria, gradually and rapidly, also extended it to Lebanon, which could mean that the Ayatollah's domination will extend from Iran through Iraq and Syria all the way to the Eastern Mediterranean, which means we may see Iranian-influenced terrain from the Persian Gulf all the way through the Mediterranean, which would advance their larger goal of toppling every single pro-American Arab regime in the Middle East, starting with Saudi Arabia.
This is a grim prospect, needless to say, but I think it's right and one that we need to be concentrating very, very assiduously upon. Just to stay with Syria for one more moment, we're watching Iranian forces on the ground, and I think you're absolutely right. They have been enabled. We've provided, in effect, air cover for their operations in the form of their so-called Shiite militia in Iraq and some of their operations as well, nominally opposing ISIS, I think even in Syria. Certainly, we're watching them entrenching themselves in support of their proxy and puppet Bashar Assad. We're watching them rebuilding their Hezbollah units. And there are reports that missile factories are being established and so on. Taking your point that Israel is just the little Satan, is it now seen from the vantage point of Israel as an unacceptable development, what Iran is doing in neighboring Syria?
Well, absolutely. And therefore, we have made it very clear, not only to the U.S., but primarily to Russia, which is very much entrenched in Syria, that there are certain red lines which we will not allow, have not allowed the Iranians to cross, and that led Israel to destroy a number of Iranian shipments to Syria. That has led Israel to destroy certain military bases, which were intended to advance the Iranian presence in Syria.
Mr. Besser, pause with me for just a second. I want to continue this commentary because it's so important, but we have to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back with more with Ambassador Yoram Edinger of Israel right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney. Listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're speaking with Ambassador Yoram Edinger, one of the most thoughtful and, I think, insightful of the policy practitioners in his own country and indeed in the world today when it comes to matters involving the Middle East and the stakes for the free world of what is developing there, notably as Iran has been emboldened and becomes ever more aggressive in league with its Russian and Syrian and Hezbollah allies. Mr. Ambassador, you were sort of chronicling how the threats that the Iranians are representing in Syria are really metastasizing, and the kinds of steps that Israel has taken to date to stop the progress of this increasing threat from Iran. Bibi Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, has spoken of having a free hand in Syria. Do you anticipate that as Iran keeps pressing forward, as the Russians presumably provide some kind of political, at least, if not actual military cover, anti-aircraft missile coverage and the like, that we're looking at a flashpoint for a new regional conflict between Israel and Iran starting in Syria?
Well, certainly there is such a threat to further intensify the already existing regional instability, probably regional insanity and unpredictability, and such intensification will occur if the United States and other powers are not going to contain Iranian perpetration into this perpetration of violence in Syria and beyond Syria.
Do you have a specific recommendation? I know, Ambassador Edinger, that you were in the United States just the past few weeks. What were you saying to your interlocutors here about the role the United States needs to play at the moment in this particular context?
Well, this administration in the U.S., unlike the previous one, is aware that the July 2015 Iran nuclear agreement was very, very detrimental to regional and global stability, and particularly to America's best interest. However, what I heard in Washington during the last few weeks has been too much attention given to the European stance on Iran. The Europeans have lost the will to flex their muscle. They probably are losing gradually their muscle, and it would be the worst development for the U.S. to follow in the footsteps of Europe in general, and certainly in the context of the Iranian threat. What I have suggested to interlocutors in Washington and other parts of the U.S. which I visited during the recent months has been to do everything possible to reassure their pro Arab, the pro-U.S. Arab countries of the U.S. determination to stop Iran. This cannot be limited to attempts to stop the nuclearization of Iran. The immediate threat, the real clear and present threat to the House of Saud and to Sheikh Sabah in Kuwait and to Sheikh Khalifa in Bahrain and to the Abu Dhabi and Dubai and certainly to Jordan and Egypt is the Iranian machete. This machete is already at the throat of the Saudis and at the throat of every single pro-American Arab regime in the Gulf. Expect the U.S. to continue in negotiation with Iran. They expect the U.S. to remove the machete from their throat. The removal of the machete from the throat cannot be done through diplomacy, obviously. The only way to send a clear message to the Ayatollahs that they cannot sustain the current policy, a clear message cannot be delivered diplomatically. It has to be delivered in a very tangible manner, which would exert price from the Ayatollahs. Syria can be such a platform, but more importantly, I believe it's Iraq and the Gulf itself. At this stage, the U.S. Is still enhancing the performance of the Iraqi military, which in fact is subordinated to the Ayatollahs. And the U.S. continued support of the Iraqi military only serves the Iranians, just like the U.S. again war against ISIS serves the Iranians, unless the U.S. carries those actions one step further, which means to clip the wings of the Ayatollahs.
This is an incredibly important point. And Yoram Edgar, one of the things that I think you've usefully introduced here is, of course, that there is now a commonality of interest between your own country, Israel, and nations that have long been at pains to treat it as an adversary, if only in public, while recognizing the importance of Israel to their own security interests. And those would include, of course, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Jordan, Egypt. Talk a little bit, if you would, about the emerging, effectively, an alliance between Israel and these Arab states in dealing with their mutual enemy and ours, Iran?
Well, certainly we're talking about a permanent state of conflict between Jordan and Syria. We're talking about a permanent threat by Syria on Jordan.
I think the point you're making is basically that Israel is an indispensable asset to these Arab nations as they contend with this mortal threat from your mutual enemy and ours, Iran. Let's pause, and when we come back, I want to describe for our audience, Ambassador Edgar, a little bit more about some of the other players in the region and Israel's relationship with them at the moment, notably Turkey under Recep Tayyip Erdogan. That and more straight ahead. We'll be right back.
Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are speaking with Ambassador Yoram Ettinger, a longtime Foreign Service officer in the diplomatic corps of Israel, a man with great experience in terms of the region and the various challenges Israel and we in the Western world more generally face from it, as well as a man who is deeply knowledgeable about the United States, having served here for much of his career. Ambassador, we were talking about the challenges that Iran poses to Israel, both in Syria and Lebanon and in Iraq, the challenges that it poses to our allies and yours in the region more generally, notably Jordan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and other states in the Persian Gulf. There's a nation we haven't mentioned yet, though, that I want to calibrate with you on, because it seems to be a rising force in the circles of Sharia supremacist regimes, and that is the government of Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Turkey. Israel has had its difficulties with Turkey for some time. I think increasingly we in the United States are too, though that's not often acknowledged. Would you give us your thoughts on what Erdogan is up to with respect to Iran and the region, Israel, and our vital interests as well?
Well, Erdogan of Turkey considers himself to be a potential leader of the Muslim world. He's facing Iran, however, as a potential competitor to his own ambition. He is faced with the U.S. on one hand as representing the Western opposition to Islam, but on the other hand, a Western power which can control Iran. You cannot count anymore on Turkey as it used to be in the past as a member of NATO and therefore facing up to the expansion of Islam. The Turkish government today is looking for allies among Hamas elements in Gaza, which are, again, underground members of the Muslim Brotherhood. Israel is viewed by Turkey, on one hand, as a major obstacle to Turkish and other Muslim aims in the Middle East. At the same time, Israel is considered by Turkey to be a major resource of high-tech, of medical elements, agricultural elements, and therefore, while geostrategically Turkey considers Israel to be a very, very tough rival, when it comes to economically, the scope of Turkish-Israel relations is expanding continuously and in a very impressive manner. If in 2005-2010, the scope of trade was something in a neighborhood of $2.5 billion annually, currently we're talking about trade of balance in excess of $5 billion between Turkey and Israel, although we have eliminated all military items which used to be pretty central in ancient trade balances between Israel and Turkey.
Yeah, a fascinating and very complex dynamic, needless to say. Speaking of the Muslim Brotherhood, I'm not sure that it's underground in Hamas. It's pretty much above ground, except for the tunnels that, of course, Hamas is constantly trying to drill into Israel and that pose a mortal threat to the people of Israel, needless to say. But the Muslim Brotherhood is very much alive and well in Turkey. I'm given to understand, Ambassador Yoram Ettinger, that with the fall of the Morsi government, a Muslim Brotherhood regime in Egypt that basically, and the arrest of many of their members and so on by the successor al-Sisi government there, Many of the Brotherhood's leaders have now established operations in and out of Turkey. Is that your understanding as well? And how serious a problem do you think the Muslim Brotherhood represents regionally and, well, for that matter, to us as well?
Well, the Muslim Brotherhood has been for many years a clear and present danger to many Arab regimes from Egypt all the way to Saudi Arabia and the Persian Gulf. The Muslim Brotherhood is a clear and present danger to the regime of King Abdullah in Jordan. In fact, Jordan today, the regime of King Abdullah is facing threats from within as well as from without. The Iranian very solid military terrorist foothold in Iraq and in Syria constitute a major threat to the Hashemite regime in Jordan. President Sisi is certainly a very positive element as far as the stability of the region, as far as American interest. But President Sisi is facing a formidable opposition led by the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. In fact, you have Muslim Brotherhood presence in the U.S. Wrapped with supposedly academic media scholastic organizations, all of whom are the front of the subversive, terroristic, anti-U.S. Muslim Brotherhood.
And when you look at this organization, Yoram Edinger, I'm given to understand that the government of Israel has identified a faction of it, the northern part of its operations in Israel as a terrorist organization, but not the southern branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. Is that correct? And if so, does that make sense?
Well, that's the reality. It does not make sense, but this has been the reality also in Israel, where the Israeli government is facing certain legal problems through the very legal sophistication of the Muslim Brotherhood. Hopefully, in Israel, in the U.S., in Egypt, in Saudi Arabia, government shall overcome penetration by the Muslim Brotherhood. But one should be aware that the Muslim Brotherhood is extremely active, persistent in its attempt to take over as many countries as possible in the Middle East. But at the same time, you have a rival element, rival to the Muslim Brotherhood, to the Sunni Muslim Brotherhood, and that is the Shiite Ayatollahs of Iran. Both have a similar goal, and that is domination of the Persian Gulf, of the Middle East at large, and then other parts of the world. And both consider the U.S. and Israel as the two major obstacles. Obviously, the U.S. by far the number one obstacle, and then Israel, the small Satan, or the smaller but still very effective hurdle. And the sooner the U.S. Wakes up to such a threat, the less effective and the less disastrous will be that threat.
Yeah, not least the threat of the Brotherhood to destroy Western civilization from within the United States and by our own hands. This comes out of their explanatory memorandum, which, by the way, people can access for free at securefreedom.org. Look for the explanatory memorandum, the Muslim Brotherhood's secret plan for destroying the United States and, as you say, Mr. Ambassador, other countries in the free world. We have to pause for one last time. We'll be right back with more with Ambassador Yoram Edinger. We'll take stock with him of the prospects for the so-called peace process. Is there any there? Right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for our final installment of this very special conversation with one of Israel's great diplomats. As far as I'm concerned, one of the heroes of the war for the free world, both for his service on behalf of Israel, but also for the close and important relationship he has forged with many of us in the United States as well. He can be found in terms of his written product at theettingerreport.com. I encourage you all to check it out. Mr. Messer, let's close this out with a conversation about a new effort that seems to be underway from the Trump administration to succeed where others have failed again and again and again, which is this idea that somehow Israel can forge a lasting peace with the Palestinians who have made no secret, and that's true whether you're talking about the faction doing business as Hamas in Gazastan, or the so-called Palestinian Authority under Fatah and Mahmoud Abbas, to destroy the State of Israel. What is your current reading of the prospects for a new negotiating effort led by Jared Kushner and others for the Trump administration, and including what, if anything, we are to make of talk of a new partnership between Fatah and Hamas?
Well, it seems to me that the eagerness to produce peace should take back seat to the realities on the ground. And when you examine the realities on the ground, you find out that there's a certain Palestinian track record. Obviously, we can talk about different scenarios, but we would be better off if the scenarios are attached to the reality. The reality is that the Palestinians traditionally have embraced adversaries of the U.S. It used to be Nazi Germany, and then it became the Soviet bloc, and then it became training of international terrorism, and then embracing the Ayatollahs, and then Saddam Hussein, and currently North Korea, China, Russia, Venezuela, Cuba, and Iran, obviously. And namely, if you establish a list of enemies and adversaries of the U.S., you would get actually the list of the closest allies of Palestinian Authority, as well as Hamas. In addition to that, we have to be aware of the Arab attitude towards the Palestinians in general, Palestinian Authority in particular. There's no love lost there. And once again, it's based on the Palestinian track record of subversion and terrorism against Egypt in the 1950s, Syria in 66, Jordan in 1970, Lebanon throughout the 70s and the early 80s. And then the collaboration between the Palestinians and Saddam Hussein's invasion and plunder of Kuwait, and actually throughout their close ties with Iran and other terror organizations. And therefore, when we talk about what would happen if should there be a Palestinian state. We're basically talking about enhancement of instability in the area, exacerbation of the tectonic nature of the Middle East, and serving the interest of America's enemies. And it seems to me that one should rethink the automatic support which today is accorded by Washington and by Western capitals to the idea of a Palestinian state, which undoubtedly would cause the toppling of the Hashemite regime in Jordan. Once the Hashemite regime is not there, we're not talking about good or better or best option. We're talking about bad, worse, or worst option. And once there is no Hashemite regime in Jordan, one can say that the days of the House of Saud south of Jordan would be numbered and stuck between anti-Saudi Jordan and increasingly pro-Ayatollah's Yemen. The days of the House of Saud and other sheikhdoms in the Gulf would be numbered.
Yeah, this sounds like a singularly bad idea, Mr. Ambassador. One of the arguments, as you know, that we have been hearing over the years is, well, there are obviously lots of problems with a Palestinian state, but it's absolutely inevitable because of the demographic changes taking place on the ground, with the Palestinian population growing and Israel's not so much, and therefore a two-state solution is a necessity, even if there may be these downside risks associated with it. You've done a lot of work over the years, both in your own right and with others, to really explore these demographic data. Give us the ground truth on that, if you would, quickly, sir.
Well, in 1960, there was a gap of six more babies per Arab women in Israel over Jewish women. That gap was closed entirely in 2015, and this last year, in 2016, for the first time, Jewish number of babies per woman has exceeded the number of babies per Arab woman, to be precise, 3.16 babies per Jewish woman, women in Israel, 3.11, and declining per Arab women in Israel. And by the way, today in Israel, the rate of fertility, number of babies per Jewish women, exceeds that of every single Arab countries other than Yemen and Iraq and Egypt. But again, the key idea, the fundamental idea, is that a Palestinian state established in Judea and Samaria, west of the river, would doom to oblivion the Hashemite regime east of the river due to the demography of Jordan, which is majority Palestinian, due to the strength of anti-Hashemite elements in Jordan, which are vying for support from west of the Jordan River. And once Jordan is transformed from pro to anti-U.S. regime, then the ripple effects would be quite effective all the way through Saudi Arabia into the Persian Gulf, and that would be a great gift to each one of America's enemies.
Indeed it would, notably, but certainly not exclusively, Iran, which brings us back to where we began. Mr. Ambassador, we are out of time. Your generous availability to us today is really appreciated, as is the work that you do at the Edinger Report. In the meantime, stay well and do come back to us again soon. I hope the rest of you will do the same tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.